You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Happy Father's Day greeting to all the fathers. Our scripture reading will be in Luke, the 15th chapter, reading verses 11, 12, and 13. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me this portion of goods that has fallen to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, the opportunity, Father, to just get up and breathe in and breathe out and just praise you and think about how good you are and the glory there is that comes from being your child. So in that relationship, this is your day. We thank you for it, Father, and we say happy Father's Day to you. And may today's message reach each heart and meet the need that's there as the Word penetrate, separating the soul and the spirit, so that we, Father, might give glory to you in sincerity and truth for the goodness that is there. And may we be thankful for it. So we pray that you meet each heart need, that you hedge us about now, Father, and that the Word might do its work. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. If I had a sermon title, it's Living the Power-Filled Life. Not the powerful, but the power-filled life. Everyone wants power. Everybody wants to be rich, and everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants great success in life. They want to rule nations, and they want to live supremely, and they want to go down in history. Maybe even like Columbus or George Washington or Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. That's kind of how it is, though, isn't it? There's just a little chuckle to a lot of that history and that being successful that comes from having power. Worldly success, we know if we study the word, is vain, and it's not satisfying, is it? No, it's not. See, riches are empty. There's a man who has $6 million and a man that has six children. Now, who is the happiest? The guy with $6 million wants more. That's a joke. The guy with six kids is satisfied. Okay? Sorry. I'll work on that one. Strength is deceptive. Strength is deceptive, and glory is only momentary. You know, you stop and you think, Barry Switzer always said, you're only as good as your last win, your last game. And that's true. So, riches and strength and glory and the things that the world counts powerful the powerful life are really not things that we need to be looking for. God said it best in Jeremiah, and you don't need to turn there, but you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to tell you, God says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, that if anyone glory, you know, if the wise man glories in his wisdom, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty glory in his strength, or the rich in their riches. But let the man who glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and he knoweth me, the Lord. That's where the glory comes from. And the thing that he says about himself in Jeremiah that we're to glory in is his loving kindness and his justice and his righteousness. You know, we can't, well, God is loving, but we can't forget God is also just. Just, and that's why he sent his son to die for our sins, because it demonstrates the justness of God. And through Christ's death, it proves the righteousness of God, because God couldn't ever redeem any of us apart from the fact that without the shedding of blood, there can be no redemption from sin, no cleansing, no forgiveness. And so we see with the righteousness of God, the justice and the judgment of God, but we also see the loving kindness. He said, that's what you're supposed to know about me. And that's what I want you to learn. And those are the things that give us a power-filled life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, and actually I want to be in 31, but 30 is where it starts, because Moses is talking to God's child. He said, my son have I called out of Egypt. Do you remember that? the apple of my eye. And I want to talk about a relationship between a father and a son today that's really not the standard relationship, which we all like. You know, I could sit here and talk to you about fathers don't provoke your children. We still do. Yes. Even when they're grown, you know, we still provoke them because of the way we are. I don't know what, but we try not to. And it says, raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we do. Some to, you know, if you were to fill up a bucket or something, some almost fill the bucket up. You know, they're just wonderful. But some of us only fill it up a little bit. You know, and some of us poke holes in the bucket. You know, it's. But that's not what today's message is going to be. We got a lot of that, and we get it all the time, and it's just it's wonderful, and we need to be conscientious of that, dads. But there's a relationship all of us understand on this day. We need to understand if we don't. We need to understand that relationship between our Heavenly Father as His child. I mean, that's the most important. This relationship, my father's been dead 10 years. Yeah, 10 years last month. And, you know, his body, that old thing that he took so much pride in joining, you know, he used to just really slick up nice. And Ben took a lot of pride in that. And when I was in high school, he bought me a suit. Good grief. Who wants to wear a suit in high school? Went to the wedding last night. Most of those young college kids just wear pants and a white starched shirt and a nice tie. They don't put a coat on. There's no suit. But he bought me not just a suit, he bought me a shark skin suit. You know, it had that silvery grayish, and I mean, it was, you know, anything fell out of my mouth on my lap slid right down to the floor. I didn't have to. But see, those things come and go. Fathers come and go, and children come and go, and the child becomes a father, and it just goes on and on. But we all, from this moment on, who are the children of God, will have this relationship eternally. And so that's really what today's message is going to be. We'll get to the parable of the prodigal son, but let me build some foundation steps before we get there. This is so critical in this relationship with God. And it's because of this. There are times when we're powerless. And that's why I say, how to live or living the power-filled life. Sometimes we are powerless. There's nothing we can do as parents, as fathers. There's not a thing we can do. And where does that come from? Why is that true? You know, there's sometimes when our Father in heaven is powerless. Oh, yeah, he could, you know, get out the zap gun and zap me and zap you when we're out of line, but he doesn't deal that way because he has set up a way that he deals in history. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a gentleman, and he has given us free will, and he's not going to take that back and make you and make me live the way he says is the right way to live. But he gives us a choice, and if you're in Deuteronomy 30, look at it. It begins right here in verse 15. And here Moses is talking to God's chosen seed, Israel, his favored nation, his son. He says, see, I've set before thee this day life and good. This is right before they're getting ready to move into the promised land. He said, I've set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land to which thou goest to possess it. See, that is your... all on the altar of sacrifice laid. You know, they're all sitting there going, yeah, we want good and we want to live and this is it. But look at the next verse. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Oh, and how many ways do we do that? Oh, I mean, you know, it's not that little fat Buddha and it's not that wooden image. But there's so many ways we serve the God of self or money or fame or fortune. How disgusting it is. And we're going to see when we get to the prodigal son, you know, his God, what he worshipped. In verse 18, I declare unto you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall surely perish. Well, everybody's going to die. Is that what he means here? I mean, big deal. So what? Live, drink, eat, marry, you know? Let's have a ball. Who cares? Everybody's going to die. I'm not going to worry about that because That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about eternal separation from God. You know, and is there a heaven? Yeah. Is there a hell? Yeah. And how bad is hell? I'll tell you, The man who knows more about hell is the one who died for us. And he says there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I'm not trying to sell an insurance policy. I'm just telling you this idea of surely perish is real. It's not just die. And he says, you shall not prolong your days upon the land to which thou passest over to Jordan to go to possess it. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. See, it's a choice. And that's the one issue I want to leave with you. It's a choice. Now, in chapter 31, God encourages the nation Israel. In verse 1, Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Moses, 120 years old, and here's his last words to them. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. That's the inhabitants of the land to which they're going. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is who doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That word fail is that word powerless. He will not be powerless. That word fail means he is slack. He will not be slack in how he deals with them. He will not leave you alone. He will not let you be weak in any situation, circumstance, or condition in life that you find yourself in. But what's the first thing that has to happen? You've got to make that choice. You got to choose this day whom you serve. I mean, turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Next couple of pages to the right, next book, Joshua chapter 1. God speaks this three times to Joshua because he's getting ready to lead him into the battle. He's getting ready to lead him into the promised land. It's not going to be a milk and honey, although it is a land of milk and honey. It's not going to be a life of milk and honey. I mean, it's going to be a life because of sin. It's first of all going to be a life of toil. You men, that was the curse promised to Adam. It's going to be a life of pain and childbearing, you women. Those kind of things are part of this life. It's not all milk and honey, but milk and honey is there. And that's the life that he was going to lead, the land he's going to lead them into. Verse 6 of chapter 1, be strong and of good courage. Remember we heard that? And then in verse 7, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. Now we're starting to see here some success. Prosperity. Prosper. I want to, and that's what we want power for. From a human point of view, kind of go back to that idea when we talk about rich and famous and having great success. But God now is starting to talk about that. He says you'll prosper if you do what? Did you miss that? Yeah, if you walk in my way, yeah, you got to make that choice. He's given us a choice of good and living, or evil and perishing, dying. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, and I've got those two words underlined, to do according to all that is written therein. Did Joshua do everything that God told him to do? No. Hey, he's got feet of clay. He's just a man like you and me. He tried his best, but did he make mistakes? Yeah. Did Moses make mistakes? Yeah. Every one of God's people makes mistakes, but their heart intent is led by the Spirit of God to do what's right. To do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and courageous? Three times in this chapter he says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. But it's conditional. Oh, he's with you wherever you go. You remember the story about the footprints in the sand, but sometimes he's powerless because of what goes on in our life. He's powerless because of what goes on in our life. Look at the last chapter in Joshua. The last chapter, chapter 24, verse 14. Now, and this is true for you. This is true today for you. Now, therefore, wherever you find yourself in life, under whatever circumstance and condition, and every one of us is in one. You know the old saying, we're either getting ready to get into one, we're in one, or we're coming out of one, and then we're getting ready to go into another one. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's the power. That's the power right there. It is, the power is found in obedience to His voice. The power is found in the walk in His way and in the keeping of His commandments and in serving Him in sincerity and truth. That is where the power-filled life comes from. It comes from the all-powerful God. Doesn't sound like the world's recipe, does it? But yeah, we go back to, and you can turn back to Luke chapter 15 now. That's just kind of the introduction, because in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, remember that one of the, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the what? The power of His might. You can't do it on your own. And how many times will you have to find that out? Well, there was, you know, this is, remember back when you were growing up, there was a, and he's still a comic book hero, Superman. You know, all everybody knows the story about Superman. You know, he was born to whatever their names were on Krypton. And it was going to blow up, so they put him in this little space pod and they shot him out to Earth. And Krypton blew up. And he landed on Earth and he found himself here. And he was super powerful. But he had one thing that could make him powerless. You remember what it was? Kryptonite. And what was kryptonite? Kryptonite was a rock from his old dwelling place, his old habit. The place, you see, okay? Kryptonite is like a sin. Satan's sin. Sin is for Satan what kryptonite was to, okay? And that's what makes us powerless, is sin in our life. And it's not dealing with that sin. It's not them being able to be obedient to the voice because we've shut the communication lines down. It's not being able to walk in a way because we don't want to be in that way. We don't want to serve Him. We make the wrong choice. We go another direction. And that's where we find this young man that's called the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. Now, don't misunderstand. Parables are given by God in their dispensational context. And too often we take them out of that and we use them for some kind of application. And I'm going to do that today, so forgive me. Now, there is a dispensational context, and you'll see that. And I'll give it to you real quick. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then he drew near, unto him, that's Jesus, all the tax collectors and sinners to hear him. Now, he's on his way. He's in Jerusalem, and he's on his way. But I mean, Luke is just telling lots of parables here. There's tons of parables. Parables coming out of the left and coming out of the right of where we are in the book. You can go back to the left and find them. You can go towards the right, and you'll find them. And in this chapter, there's four of them, and they all have to do with the kingdom of God. And I don't want to take away that dispensational. And that's a good study, and we need to do that. Clark's doing a study in Sunday school on Matthew 13. We kind of finished it up, but it had to do with the parables, and all dealing with the kingdom. Keep that in mind, and don't really lose the true interpretation of where this falls. Right now, I'm just going to use it as a kind of an application so that we can see the powerlessness of a father who has a son who's in sin, and the powerlessness of a son, any of us children, who is experiencing sin. And that's really kind of where I'm going to go with this, in developing this relationship that we have with a Heavenly Father. So bear with me. And so in chapter 15, verse 1, he's got all his lost sheep around him. The tax collectors, yuck. You know, these guys, publicans, you know, they were Jews who were exercising taxes on the Jewish people for who? The Roman government. The vilest and the worst. But if they weren't the worst, the next group is sinners. So all of these guys are drawn near to who? Jesus. And then comes along this other group, the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, these are the two sons that are in part of the prodigal that we talk about in the prodigal. These are the two. The Pharisees and the scribes are not the two. They're the second son. They're the elder son, the legalistic ones. The first son are these sinners. Okay? And he goes into the next two parables are the lost sheep. Everybody knows you got 100 sheep, 99 of them come home, one's not, and you know the good shepherd goes out, and that's Jesus. He goes out and he finds that lost sheep and he puts it on, and everybody rejoices, and there's he says happiness in heaven. The second parable is the lost coin. The woman who loses a coin has 10 of them, loses one, she got 9. Where's that one? She sweeps and looks and everywhere, and she finds it. She's happy as she can be. Tells all of her neighbors in verse 10. This is a very famous verse. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, this is really not, these parables are not parables that apply to trying to reach out for the lost and bring them in. This is a parable that Jesus is telling these people who he's come to redeem his nation, his son, Israel. And he's trying to bring to their attention, but I'm not there today. So I hope you forgive me for that. But I don't want you to miss that either, because that'd be wrong on my part to mislead you. Many today do that. They use these as an opportunity to, oh, there's so much crowd. Oh, gosh, I just wish they'd come home. And then when they do, they're saved and they come down the aisle and then there's all this rejoicing that goes on. It doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with the nation Israel. Now the lesson. The lesson. Luke 15:11. And he said, a certain man, that's God the Father, a certain man had two sons. And we just saw those two sons, but now we're going to get a better picture of them. Okay? And notice, and I specifically say, these are sons. These aren't lost sheep or coins. These are sons. There's this relationship that's already there. That's what he's saying. And then this relationship is brought about as we understand it, and it's always taught when this is taught as a calling type message, is the relationship is from the sacrifice that God made in His Son, and that's the only way this relationship can be made. And that's important to remember. And once it's made, it can't be broken. And I know sometimes we think we like to break these relationships because, you know, that as a parent, a child, they don't want to have that relationship. I probably have lost you guys, but let me see if I can tie this knot real quick. They don't want to have it physically because they've been slanted. They've been, made uncomfortable or uneasy, or they don't like the relationship, or so they want to get out of their physical family. They can't. You can never get out of your physical family. You know, that's just, it's done. It's a set thing. The spiritual relationship is the same way. So his father had two sons, and he's never going to lose his two sons. His two sons are part of his relationship, not only physically, but in the overall picture of a spiritual relationship. You can't break it. There are some who teach that you can, okay? You know, you just do enough bad, and you know, that's it. You're out of here, and you know, the once saved, always saved crowd's wrong because you can, through unbelief or something like that. That's not it, you know? You know, it's kind of like a husband and wife, and they're stranded on a desert island. You know, what do you mean you want to break up? Whatever choice do you have? there's just you and me here, honey. So that the certain man had two sons. All right, that's just as solid as it. Verse 12. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto him his living. Now see, there's my way. See, there's a way that seems right unto a man. That way leads unto destruction. It's death. And see, here comes Krypton. The kryptonite's starting to come in. This is it, you know, serving the wrong God. And here comes the kryptonite, because look what happened to verse 13. See, he makes stupid decisions. And that many days after that, he's got all his goods, and he makes a dumb decision. And the younger son gathers all together, and he takes his journey into a far country, and there wastes his substance with riotous living. See, the kryptonite got in and weakened him. That was all that stuff he wanted. All of a sudden, he had this idea, this sin. Well, this is I'm younger, and I'm not going to get the older's position. So you got to remember that. The older had a special position. So I'm just going to take mine and, you know, deal with it best I can. Just give it to me and let me have it. And the father, you know, belonged to the son. He didn't withhold it. There wasn't any kind of strain or any relationship problems here other than, you know, doesn't talk to us about any of those things. It just, the guy said, I wanted it. He had an idea in his mind about what he wanted, and he went after it, and that was the beginning of sin. Do you remember? James talks about that. Sin, having a thought in your mind. Don't give it a second thought. You give it that second thought, and it lodges in there. And so you act on it. Hey, give me my stuff. He gets his stuff. Now, well, I think I'm footloose and fancy free. Isn't that the way it is? Yeah, I think I'll just go check things out. So he heads off into a far country. He leaves the guidance of his father. He leaves the instruction, the resources, and not just the monetary and physical resources, but all those other love and joy and peace that comes from having that relationship. He says, I'm going to go try things on my own. And so here's sin. And here's what sin does in everyone's life. Verse 14. When he had spent all that he had, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Sin always leads to want. Sin always leads to want. Whether it comes as an armed bandit, that's a proverb, when you're traveling, or whether it comes as wickedness and brings you poverty, it always leads to want. The fact, I got a little note here, I wrote this down, the fact that sin causes such awful consequences, and we're going to look at those in just a minute, is the chastening of the Lord. You know how many parents, their child's in trouble and they get them out of trouble, okay? No consequences. So they don't get chastened about what's good and what's right, okay? But God lets you go through the consequences. And some of the consequences can last a day, a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and all of a sudden, boom, you go, oh my gosh, what am I doing? That's true. God's children do that. We do it all the time in our relationship with Him and what's going on. But sin, see, kryptonite always weakens Superman. And sin always leads to want. And look at verse 15. So he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Yeah, this guy's been having all kinds of parties and having a good time and spending his money. So after he ran out and things got tough, he went to one of his party people. And he said, hey, you know, things are kind of tough. Can you help me out? Thinking he might get a room in the house. Or he might get some extra cash or something. The guy says, well, I got a pig pen out here you can clean up. Oh my gosh. So he sent him to fields to feed the swine. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I mean, all those things that you get involved in the world that you think might lead to success and power and living a powerful life. Oh my gosh, I'm out of time. I didn't know. I was having so much fun up here. They will not only not save you in this world, but they will never even come close to saving you in the next world. You know, the choices you make and the success that you want to have needs to come from being obedient and following the Word of God. But there comes a time, and look at verse, and I'm going to take some time if you all don't mind, verse 17, and he came to himself. The glory of the light that shines in the life of a believer. These are believers. These are sons. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is a younger son, and he's just out there living. But all of a sudden, boom, use the other hand. Boom, light comes on. And he came to himself. And you know, we all, how many of us have been in that situation with a child? But God's in that situation almost daily with His children. And He's waiting for that light to come on. And you know, really, that is the most important relationship, because once that relationship gets straightened out, all the other relationships, oh, they may not turn out perfect and they may not get straightened out the way, you know, the ideal way. But there is, because of that relationship with your Heavenly Father, there's that comfort that comes from trusting in Him. There's that comfort, there's that love that covers you and protects you and gives you the resources you need in order to deal with the other things in life that you have to deal with. And so he says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go home. And he gets up and he goes home. And then verse 20. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. The omniscience of God. The omniscience. This is truly it. The omniscience of God. I imagine his father probably, it says that he kept his eye out for him all the time. I don't think he probably checked out what was going on. He just waited. And he waited. And he waited. But because of his waiting, he saw his son far off, and the father saw him. And now here's the grace of God, and he had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, and the son said unto him, and so the son goes through his routine, and he's sincere about it, because, or at least I'm going to guess he's sincere about it. Doesn't say anything else. I mean, he doesn't talk to what happens later except with the older son. Now here's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 25, his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard the music and the dancing, because the father had killed the fat calf and got the robe and cleaned everybody up, and we're having a party, and let's begin to make merry. The older son comes in. Now, these are the legalistic ones that come in. Now, here's the other son, okay? The older son. He ought to know better, and he gets uptight, and he gets, look at verse 28. He was angry. Cain and Abel, you know, there's two sons you could talk about. Same kind of situation. Look what happened. He was angry and he would not go in, and therefore his father came out. And that the compassion of a father. And his father entreated him. Now see, don't forget, who is the father? God the Father. And that's really the picture. And now he is powerless over making this son, the older son, just as he was powerless over the younger son in making that son, because kryptonite. Don't forget kryptonite. See, these things, when sin enters in, it's what we need to, Paul writes in Corinthians, to take every thought captive. And we need to put it in that lead box. You know what lead boxes do to kryptonite? Y'all remember? You remember the story? Lead box? You put kryptonite in a lead box, the evil rays from the old habitat and the old ways can't get out, and Superman gets his strength back and he saves the day. But sin is the evil that comes in. And I'll just end there. That's a good place to end. We need to keep in mind, and God bless you fathers, and God bless you wives that put up with them, and God bless you children who honor your fathers and your mothers as God has commanded you, but that's just the beginning. The whole walk is what God wants for your life and my life. And you know, that's the thing I have to work with. See, it's easy for me to look at others and say, you know, this applies to them, doesn't it? But when it's between me and God, it applies between me and Him. And I have to work on that daily. And you know, you have to work on it daily. You make that choice between good and life or the other. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day that does cause us to bring to remembrance fathers and to honor them and to praise them and thank them. And Lord, you're so good. You have so many wonderful, untold blessings waiting for each of us, Your children. And we don't get to enjoy all of them. Kryptonite comes in. But Father, You've given us the way to redeem that, to bring back that time, to enjoy that, to give up this world, to deny ourselves, to seek the way, to follow Your voice, to listen to Your Spirit, to lay all on the altar, not just our body, but our soul too, so that we, Father, then might be able to love You and worship You in sincerity and in truth, to give it all up for Your love. What a challenge. May each of us in our heart respond to that today. And I pray this, Father, for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.